content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book, The Special Real Simple Edition of The Power of Plants, Calming Benefits, Houseplants and Healing Gardens That Thrive. And each article is by a different person, so I will give you the name of that person and the article number when we're reading it. And we're going to start with Parenting a Plant Baby. Handling these common problems will help your greenery survive and thrive. And this is by Jenny Kamita. And we're going to start with Flaunt Your Foliage. One satisfying part of owning plants can be showing them off. Carter shares his tips for arranging them in your space. Place plants at different levels. Put them above you, below you, and right at eye level, he says. Try perching smaller pots on shelves, hanging trailing plants from ceiling hooks, and putting tree-like specimens in large pots on the floor. Lower plants, many pots deep. I believe in blurring the indoor-outdoor line, and the way to do that is by mimicking nature, Carter says. Create layers, some plants in the background, others in the foreground. Accentuate a space with a plant. Carter's styling mantra, every surface, be it a bar chart or a bookshelf, has the opportunity to be a plant stand. Other ways to baby your plant. Is your greenery's poor health manifesting itself in ways aside from leaf trouble? Weinstein says plants are often killed with kindness. Overwatering is probably the leading cause of indoor plant death, she says. And there's also a tendency to over-fertilize. If your plant is looking rough, try these suggestions. Try a little benign neglect. This is a good first choice of action. Cut back on the watering. By how much depends on the plant type, and fertilize sparingly. Generally, feed your plants only once a month and avoid fertilizing during a plant's dormant season, which is October through March. Swap out the dirt. If that benign neglect isn't enough and it's not the right time for fertilizer, try a replacement batch of dirt. Plants get nutrients from the soil, and eventually soil gets depleted, Lalikata says. Repot it entirely. You can tell your plant has outgrown its container if roots poke out of the drainage hole or push the plant up and out of the pot. When it comes to pots, however, bigger isn't always better. The larger the container, the longer the soil will hold moisture, and you can end up with root rot, Weinstein explains. If a plant is struggling, I often recommend sizing down the pot. Bring plants outside. If it's warm enough where you live, transfer indoor plants outside for an extended summer vacation. All that natural light can be a lifesaver. Remember to check for bugs before bringing them back in. I just did that for the first time because I moved them from an apartment to a house, Carter says. Once the plants went outside, it was as if they'd always wanted to be there. So much new growth and leaves looking all perfect. I thought to myself, man, I really have been keeping you guys down. And a quick trick for happier plants. Sometimes less is more, so get out those pruning shears. Of course, watering is important, but another little task is also key, says Stephanie Horton, an interior plant consultant in Madison, Alabama. Regular trimming, aka pruning, can make your plant healthier, help it grow, and even keep pests at bay. It's essential maintenance for most plants, but skip it for cactus and succulent. She says, the prune like a pro. Park your plant near the sink for easy cleanup. Then grab a pair of clean shears, look for yellow or browning leaves, and snip them off at an angle just above the node. The bump that protrudes from the stem, says Eliza Blank, founder and CEO of The Sill. And that's by Brandy Brooks. And our next article is 7 hardy plants that are just right for the office. A happier workspace is a pod away. And this is by Sarah Yang. Some greenery just might make your workday better, and some plants are made for it. Plant expert Christopher Satch, an instructor at the New York Botanical Garden, suggests the best office plants that can withstand limited sunlight, overzealous air conditioning, and little water. The first one is Neon Pothos. This vivid green plant can wake up a boring desk space. Satch recommends it if your office is full of bland white, black, and gray hues. This will grow into a beautiful vine that cascades over the pot's edge, he says. It can be placed on tabletops, but it also looks great in a hanging basket. And care tips are medium to low light and water once a week. Second is the snake plant. The snake plant is steadfast, upright, and loyal, Satch says. It can go for weeks without water, so it's a good choice for forgetful office managers. Plus, it will tolerate offices with cranked-up heat or air conditioning. And don't worry if you don't have a window view. This plant will be just as happy in a dark corner. Care tips is low light and water once a month. Third is a peace lily, also known as Mauna Loa. This plant can add a tropical flair to your workspace with its large, lush leaves and pretty white blooms. Serene and stoic, the peace lily is great for offices that are heavy on the air conditioning, Satch says. Although cranking up the air conditioner isn't great for any plant, this one can tolerate it as well as low light. Warning, you might not want to put this in your home office. It's poisonous if consumed by dogs or cats. And care tips is medium-low light and water once a month. Number 4 is Aglaonema. That's Aglaonema. Aglaonema leaves are variegated, which means they have different textures, patterns, and colors, making for an eye-catching desk plant. This one will let you know if it needs more water by dramatically drooping, says Satch. Care tips is medium light and water once a week. And 5 is rubber tree plant. This floor plant will dress up an empty office corner. Colorful and sometimes variegated, the rubber tree plant is a solid choice for those who would like to add a splash of color to their offices, Satch says. Younger plants produce larger leaves that become somewhat reduced in size as the plant ages. In the tropical South and Southeast Asia, the aerial roots of the plant are trained to create living bridges, but you can use them to create a living office. Care tips is medium-low light and water once a week. Aloe. You'll only want one of these if your office gets a lot of sun. These desert beauties love to sunbathe, says Satch. If you have a hard time remembering to water your plants, or you're always traveling on business trips, this is a great choice. It can go for weeks without water. Care tips is high light and water once a month. And seven is Dracaena. This tall floor plant is as close as you can get to having a tree in your office. Also known as a corn plant, this one will flower regularly if the conditions are right, and it will do well in most offices. Care tips is medium light and water once a week. And our next article is The Right Way to Water. And keep those greens thriving with these must-know watering tips. And this is by Lauren Phillips. Bringing home new plants can be a huge rush. It's a little like bringing home a new puppy or kitten, but with much, much less work. That isn't to say that plants don't need a little TLC, though. Sure, there are plants that don't need sunlight and some greens that basically take care of themselves. But all plants need a little water now and then. In fact, learning the right way to water may be the number one priority for plant parents. Anyone who has progressed beyond gardening for beginners may want to look into pruning, deadheading, fertilizing, repotting, and more. But plant care newbies will want to focus on watering plants the just right amount. It's possible to both over and underwater plants, and figuring out how and how often does take a little know-how and a lot of patience and experimentation. Every plant is different, as is every plant environment. The same plant will need more water if it's set in a sunny spot than it will in a shadier one. Older and larger plants will be thirstier than smaller, newer ones. Garden tools may make the physical act of watering easier, but you're going to have to pay attention to be sure you're watering right. To help demystify the process, we've broken down the rules of thumb experienced gardeners follow when caring for indoor or outdoor plants into seven easy-to-follow guidelines. Stick to these plant watering rules and pay attention to how your plant reacts, because there aren't one-size-fits-all rules, and you'll be on your way to intermediate-level gardening in no time. The first one is water for the weather. In mild weather, particularly in the spring, you can probably plan to water your potted plants once a week. Plants will need more water as the temperature rises in late spring and summer, as the warmer weather causes moisture to evaporate before the plant can use it. Two, adjust according to size. This one's straightforward. Larger plants need more water. Smaller plants need less. Also, large pots containing small plants can hold a lot of moisture, so adjust water quantities accordingly. Three, timing matters. The best times to water are in the morning or the evening, rather than in the warmer temperatures of midday, when more of the water will evaporate. Four, add enough water. You'll want to add water to pots until it leaks out of the drainage holes in the bottom. pots without drainage holes should have some sort of safeguard against rot root, whether that's rocks or another moisture catcher at the bottom. This way, you'll know that the soil and roots have access to moisture throughout the pot. Avoid oversaturating by adding just enough water that it drains out of the bottom. Too much water can hurt the plant. If you come back again to water later and the top of the soil is moist, you don't need to water again, not just yet. 5. Aim true. Water should be poured onto the soil, not the plant leaves and flowers. Dumping water on the plant itself can lead to fungal diseases and even scorching spots on the leaves. Stay calm. That's 6. Stay calm. Some plants and flowers, especially plants in outdoor pots, may look wilted at the hottest times of day. Don't panic and add water. Plants wilt as self-protection to keep their roots from losing too much moisture. Wait to see if the plants perk up again once things cool off at the end of the day. If they don't, they may need a little more water or more frequent watering. And 7, keep it dry. If pots are allowed to sit in water, or if they're drenched in water too often, they can develop root rot and or die. If you're using saucers under plants to catch water and dirt, empty them after you water and after it rains to keep the roots and soil moist, not drenched. And now is how to water your plants when you go away. Don't let your pothos prevent you from enjoying your vacation. Whether you're going away for a few nights or a few weeks, there's a way to keep your houseplants watered while you're gone. Depending upon your level of dedication and how often you typically travel, you can invest in hydroponic planters, order an inexpensive watering globe, or try the do-it-yourself trick here. Whichever method you choose, you can enjoy your vacation without worrying about whether your snake plants will survive, although for extra long trips, it may be time to call on that trusty neighbor. Order a watering globe. For potted houseplants, an affordable watering globe will ensure their survival. Just fill the globe with water before you leave for your trip, and the end that's inserted into the potting soil will slowly hydrate the plant as the soil gets dry. Make your own do-it-yourself watering globe. You can do-it-yourself for your own watering globe using bottles found in your recycling bin. A small glass seltzer bottle is perfectly sized for tabletop plants, while a screw-top wine bottle will work for large floor-standing plants. Fill a bathtub or sink. For trips of up to a week, begin by thoroughly watering plants, then place a towel at the bottom of a bathtub or a sink and fill with 2 inches of water, says Barbara Pleasant, author of The Complete Houseplant Survival Manual. Sit the plants in the tub or the sink, and they'll soak up the water. And last, invest in hydroponic planters. For those who go away often, hydroponic planters, or even a complete hydroponic garden, can be a worthwhile investment. These classic terracotta pots are encased in glass, creating a reservoir of water that will keep your plant hydrated without causing root rot. And this has been by Katie Holdfer. And now we'll start this next article, although we'll probably have to end it in a second program. And it starts out, impossible to kill outdoor plants. Low light, sandy soil, no problem. And this is by Katie Holdefer. And if you've always assumed that your yard was too dry, too shady, or too sandy soil to support beautiful plants, guess again. These common problems just mean you have to get more creative with your plant picks. With expert advice and care tips from a couple of plant pros, we've identified 15 pretty plants that should thrive in even the least plant-friendly spaces. Fragrant, flowering dianthus can not only survive in sandy soil, but can fill your backyard with color and a lovely, slightly spicy scent. If you have a shady yard that doesn't get much sun, skip the grass and carpet the garden with common oak sedge, which adds textural interest to the area. With these hard-to-kill plants readily available at nurseries and garden centers, there's no reason to let a dry, low-light space stop you from creating a show-stopping backyard. Best for shady backyards. Pro pick is Edjuga. If your backyard doesn't get much sun throughout the day, it can be tough to find attractive plants that will thrive in the shadows. To find the best shade-loving plants around, we asked Justin Hancock, a horticulturist at Costa Farms, a plant company based in Miami. They supply house and garden plants to retailers and garden centers across the country. So the team is well-versed in selecting plants that will survive in real backyards. The shade-surviving plant at the top of the list, Edjuga, that's A-J-U-G-A, this weed-smothering ground cover is a great pick if you're looking to add color and decrease maintenance in shaded areas of your backyard. It offers adorable spikes of blue-purple flowers in spring, then a mat of dense foliage the rest of the gardening season. Hancock says, to up the visual interest, look for variegated selections such as Burgundy Glow, which has shades of pink and silver in its leaves. Plus, Edjuga comes back every year, so you can plant it once and enjoy it for years to come. The pro pick is Caladium. Bring a touch of the tropics to your shaded backyard with the big, beautiful leaves of Caladium, Hancock recommends. This plant's arrowhead-shaped leaves are readily found in shades of red, pink, and white, so you can coordinate this pick with the other plants in your garden. Costa Farms' favorite hue, the white varieties are particularly fun in shade because they seem to glow, especially at dusk, Hancock says. You can treat Caladium as an annual and leave it in the ground throughout the year, or you can dig it up and store it in a cool place for the winter. And another pro pick is Persian Shield. If you're searching for a fail-proof plant that can thrive in the north or the south, in sun or in shade, in a garden bed or in a container garden, then the Persian Shield is for you. This colorful, leafy plant is more than just durable. It's also a true standout in the garden. We adore this tropical plant's metallic purple foliage. It definitely makes a statement on its own or paired with other plants, Hancock says. treat this tropical plant as an annual. Or if you're adventurous, Hancock recommends bringing it indoors in the winter and keeping it in a bright spot. Another pro pick is oak leaf hydrangea. To get even more shade-surviving selections, we turn to the plant pros at the Chicago Botanical Garden in Glencoe, Illinois. Jacob Burns, the curator of herbaceous perennial plants, guided us through the varieties best suited for deep shade. Even when hidden beneath a conifer or tucked into the darkest corner of your yard, these plants are likely to thrive. One low-light pick at the top of Burns' list is the oak leaf hydrangea. Bold, textural leaves and large cone-shaped flowers make this shrub an option with serious curb appeal for the front yard. These plants start blooming in mid-June, and they bloom well into the summer when a lot of other shrubs aren't, Burns explains. Thus, you can enjoy blossoms throughout the season. And the pro pick is First Frost Hosta. If you're dealing with a backyard that's both shady and dry, the hosta is one of the few plants that will be happy to call it home. Growing to about 16 inches and 30 inches wide, a group of hosta can help fill the space in a low-light garden. In fact, most hostas prefer some shade, and the darker the plant, the more likely it is to thrive in a dim environment. If you're planting a deep shade, Burns recommends planting the First Frost variety of hosta, which has pretty variegated leaves with pale lavender flowers. And another pro pick is Carex pennsylvanica. This is a great alternative to grass for a shady spot, Burns says. The free-growing ground cover is similar to a soft carpet for your garden. Once planted, it will spread out over the yard, filling in open areas without choking out the plants that already live there. It adds a softer texture and will spread out and mingle with the other plants, Burns says. So you won't have to worry too much about it. Pair this shady plant with a flowering low-light pick such as hellebore, and will bring a pop of color to the lush green landscape. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we will be back again in our next podcast. Thank you for listening.